Welcome back to Self-Love 365, the daily podcast where we dig into the practice and concepts of self-love. I'm your host, Lili, and this is day 34. Self-love doesn't spiral. Hello, friends. Happy Saturday. I'm just finishing up a week on the Cape with my family and my husband's extended family. We brought the dogs and we've had really good weather so far. Only one rainy day, a little bit cloudy today, and I guess a hurricane is coming, but we're heading out, so we're going to miss it. I hope you've had a good week too. I know we've had a lot of challenges we've been talking about. And as a reminder, these challenges are going to be with us on and off throughout our self-love journey. And if you're human like me, they're going to be probably some of these challenges are going to stay with you through the rest of your life. So it's good to talk about them now and get some strategies in place. But we're not talking about them because we're trying to defeat them or make them go away, because that's not real life. And the ones that are the most prevalent, I find, are the ones that are the most important to have strategies to deal with, multiple strategies to deal with. So today's challenge is bad habits, addiction, or addictions, and abuses, not as in being or enacting physical or verbal abuse, but abuses as in tasks that we do too much to the detriment of our health, often with substances. When that happens, our other relationships suffer because we're just focusing on this one thing and it's causing us to spiral deeper and deeper and deeper into a world in which that habit doesn't seem so bad. Maybe we hang out with other people who have the habit. Maybe we justify our actions. Sometimes we can compensate or try to compensate by, acting inauthentically. And we end up apologizing a lot. We end up feeling bad, guilty, shame. We become secretive. So all of this is a spiral downward, and it is not good for relationships of any sort. Definitely not good for a relationship with yourself, for having a healthy relationship with yourself, for the same reason that without many of these other challenges, they tend to eclipse other parts of our life, other aspects of our personality, and other feelings we could be having. So in my experience, when there's an addiction present, that's the thing that's the most important thing. So love can't be your priority if you have an addiction that is running your life. Certainly self-love cannot be your priority. There's nothing loving about giving into an addiction. As a reminder, I'm not a medical professional. I'm speaking from my own experience. And I'm sure that much of this resonates with you, whether or not you, quote, officially have an addiction. Addictions can be all kinds of things. It doesn't have to be alcohol. It doesn't have to be drugs. It doesn't have to be gambling. It can be shopping. For me, it has been shopping. Sometimes it still feels like it. Addictions can be things like work, lust, sex, playing a certain game, maybe, sports, betting. There's all kinds of ways that this can manifest, this challenge can manifest. And it's always a threat to our overall well-being. It's always a threat to our self-love relationship because of the fact that it causes us to spiral and we aren't able to see clearly when we're in the spiral. Self-love doesn't spiral. Self-love is above board. It's balanced. It's healthy. It is open and honest. It leaves room for possibility. It allows us to be present. So all of those things are in direct opposition to addiction or abuse. So like any, you know, young, healthy, I guess, 20-something, you know, I started drinking alcohol. I didn't start drinking until I was 21, so that's good, but I started drinking alcohol with no awareness or practice or rule book in which to do so in a healthy manner. So that it was a roller coaster, right? And I'm sure there's a whole group of people out there that are nodding their heads, but you know, it was a roller coaster of drinking too much and then regretting it and then waiting for judgment to come and waiting for friends to, you know, sometimes we'd sit around and tell funny stories, but we were really using humor to mask the fact that it was very pathetic, the amount of alcohol we drank. And alcohol wasn't a substance that I enjoyed for its own qualities. I used alcohol as a way to alter my behavior because I thought I was shy. I definitely have and had anxiety. And alcohol, or being, especially being inebriated, is a way to make those feelings go away. And I can be a different person. So that's abuse of alcohol. And that's not good for my self-love relationship because I'm not living authentically. So that was in my 20s. And even though I was definitely abusing alcohol, it didn't interfere with my daily life. So outside of, you know, weekends spent on the couch because I was hungover, but I didn't lose my job because I was an alcoholic. I didn't necessarily ruin relationships because I was an alcoholic. Everyone around me was drinking a lot of alcohol too. So that just kept going until I had kids. And certainly my alcohol diet changed. I wasn't drinking, you know, well into the hours of the night after I had kids. I wasn't staying up all hours of the night and partying. But I was still drinking a lot when I could, and I was still drinking in order to alter my behavior, in order to feel like I was someone different. And I was drinking as a way to deal with problems that I didn't know how to face. Well, you can imagine alcohol and depression and anxiety are not good. That's not a good cocktail for anyone. It certainly wasn't good for me. And I really didn't understand that I was an alcoholic. I didn't identify as one. And, you know, I thought that alcoholics had to be people that destroyed their lives until I actually was diagnosed as an alcoholic and started thinking about it and started receiving some counseling. And it was explained to me that it's, you know, because by that time I even felt like, well, I really don't drink that much alcohol. And it's mostly wine, you know. But it was explained to me that it's not, an addiction is not just an amount. It's also, you know, all of these other things, the reasons why you're, you know, doing that task. And if your reasons are anything like because I want to escape my actual life, then that's a problem. So that's my kind of background with alcoholism. And for me personally, I chose not to become sober. I chose to manage my intake of alcohol in different ways, with a support system, with therapy, you know, a lot of accountability measures, mindfulness, and, you know, sometimes as recently as just a couple years ago, I slip, I make mistakes, and then my support system is there for me, and I have space and safety to work through it. It's not what would work for everyone, and I understand that. But in that way, my strategy to combat the spiral, to combat the addiction, is really that openness and honesty that I have within this support network with these trusted people. Along with that, one of the mantras I've found really useful when it comes to my, I guess, penchant for addiction is I am enough. And that mantra works well with this challenge because oftentimes an addiction, you know, performing an addiction is really about low self-esteem, lack of self-confidence, maybe feeling as though I let someone down, including myself. Yeah, so the mantra I am enough is a good one to have in my back pocket for when that happens. And again, I just want to reiterate that the substance abuse, the addiction, even if it's what you would say, it's just a bad habit, it's not addiction level, which it might be how I frame my love of shopping, retail shopping. I want to reiterate that those things are not coping skills. That's what I kind of traditionally view them as, right? It's like, well, I need this thing in order to get through this other thing. But those are actually the real challenges, and they are masking whatever other issue that I'm avoiding. So that's why the strategy of openness and honesty and vulnerability really is important. And those are things that I have to practice with myself first, which is going to benefit my self-love relationship. And there are also things that I have to practice with these trusted people that I'm going to reach out to whenever I either give in to an addiction or feel like giving in. So, okay, that's a big topic for me. Thank you for allowing me to share. For the action item, my idea is to set up that support network. It can be one person, but I often find that you might need to either be a part of a group of people that understand what you're going through, or you might need a professional that you can call on when things get really bad. And you might need to be a part of some program that works for you, because this is a big issue. It's a big challenge. And if the support network that you set up hasn't experienced this challenge themselves, then that could bring on additional challenges. So it's really important to have at least part of this support network be people kind of as what I would think of on the inside. So I might reach out to other friends of mine who at one point identified as alcoholic, or at one point maybe were a partner or a child of an alcoholic, because that inside information helps them help me. So that's your action item and big topic for a Saturday, but hopefully you have some space today to really think about what you want your life to look like and whether or not that includes spiraling. I hope it doesn't, and I hope you come back tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Self Love 365. Much love to Henry Liu for our original music, and Little Legends Design Studio for our custom graphics. Thanks to our Twitter followers at 365_self, and to our blog readers at 365daysofselflove.com. And thanks to you for listening.